Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lisa H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Today is Wednesday, April the 30th, 2025, and this is 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we'll be reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Working with Others. We're on page 94. We're in the first paragraph, beginning the 12th line from the top, which starts, "Make it clear," and we'll be reading through and commenting on seven sentences that takes us to the end of the paragraph that says, "Likely to follow your suggestions." Today's readers, and thank you for your service in April, the 12 steps, March O, the 12 traditions, Victoria L, readers of the text, Sigrid F and Craig F. Our newcomer greeter is Lilan P. Our second hour host is Ann M., and announcements will be given by Kathy S. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, April the 29th, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 22,385. That's 22385. And for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 22,386. That's 22386. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Marge O. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, all. Marge O. from Massachusetts. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Marge O. from Massachusetts. And I'll now ask Victoria L. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Victoria L. from Muncie, Indiana, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Victoria L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 94. We're in the middle of the first paragraph, the 12th line from the top. It begins, make it clear, and ends, likely to follow your suggestions. And that we'll be commenting on those 7 sentences. And I'll now ask Sigrid F. to please begin reading.
Good morning, everybody. Sigrid F., formerly of Florida, now in North Carolina. Make it clear that he is not under pressure, that he needn't see you again if he doesn't want to. You should not be offended if he wants to call it off, for he has helped you more than you have helped him. If your talk has been sane, quiet, and full of human understanding, you have perhaps made a friend. Maybe you've disturbed him about the question of alcoholism. This is good, all to the good. The more hopeless he feels, the better. He will be more likely to follow your suggestions. This paragraph reminds me that it's not about me to get somebody well. It's that God will put people in my path that are on a journey and that will help me stay well. And I didn't get that at first for a long time in program when I was sponsoring. What served me well at work was my ability to push and pull and make things happen, achieve goals with teams, by myself, didn't matter. And so that really became a handicap when it came to program. And I had to, over time, understand that it wasn't my journey to help other people get recovered. That wasn't what this was about at all. Really, what it's about is sharing my experience, strength, and hope. So instead of, you should do this and you should do that, my language slowly became, I did this and I do that. And this is what happened to me. And when the language started changing, people started listening. So the Big Book's very clear. I never does it say you should tell people what to do. But for whatever reason, with my character defects, that's how I first approached this. And it didn't work very well. But I did stay in program and I did stay sober. So miracles of all miracles. And with that, I think I'm going to pass today. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Sigrid F. from North Carolina. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So if you've shared on any of the vision meetings on Monday or Tuesday, we ask you to hold back this morning. Who would like to share on what was read this morning?
Kelly G.
Harlan G.
Kelly.
Melissa C.
Harlan.
Melissa. Gail H.
I think I've got Gail H. I'm missing somebody.
Gara F.
Is that
Melissa
Gara or Sarah?
D. Gara.
Okay,
Tony,
let me tell you who I have. Tony. Okay, just a second. I have Kelly G., Harlan G., Melissa C., Gail H., Dara, and Tony B. Anybody else want to jump in?
Jennifer C.
Jennifer?
Lee H.
Lee? Great. This is a perfect lineup. And please remind me of your last name and where you're calling from when you get up to share. Kelly G., you're up, followed by Harlan G.
Thank you so much. Kelly G., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. And I love this reading today. It's so appropriate because I just spoke with a girlfriend in program about this. And I think the number one thing for me in sponsorship is I cannot take it personally if someone doesn't follow direction or somebody falls off the beam or somebody disappears. It triggers all those insecurities in me, abandonment, they're leaving me, or insecurity like, do I not know the program well enough, or I'm not a good enough sponsor. And the truth is that all I can share is my experience and hope. So much of this program for me in the beginning is monkey see, monkey do. I choose a sponsor who I want what they have. I do what they do. I get what they've got. And a lot of times, what really helped me follow directions with my sponsor is her suggestion. She's not saying, you have to do this. This is what I did to get recovered. And so that's what I want to do. It's a want. It's I need to do this in order to get recovered, but I want to do this because that's what my sponsor did. And so I think the biggest thing is just not to take things personally if a sponsee all of a sudden does disappear, because at the end of the day, step 12 isn't optional. And what I have to do for myself is to help others. And as long as I put myself out there and serve God's children, then I'm doing step 12. The result of doing step 12, the outcome of sponsorship is not up to me, but my responsibility and my duty to sponsor is up to me. So yes, that's all I have to share. Have a great day.
Thank you, Kelly G. And Harlan G., you're up, followed by Melissa C.
Thanks, Lisa. I'm out walking, so if you could give me a very not gentle reminder at 3 minutes, because I'm not home, I'm out walking with cars and stuff. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. This paragraph reminds me that this is not to be taken personally, as was said in the last share. It's not a personal affront to me if the person wants nothing to do with this. I am a salesman by my trade. That is how I make a living. This is not a sales job. This is a, here's what I do, as was just said. Here's what I found. Here's the things I do. And the person will either want it or they won't. And as much as a person likes me or doesn't like me, it has to do with that. It's not personal. The effect of the food, the sense of ease and comfort, as described by Dr. Silkworth, is so elusive, we will chase it to the gates of insanity or death. It is such an efficient solution to the pains of life that it is very difficult to think that just everyone is going to flock in here. Let's face something, guys. We should be the biggest of the 12-step programs. the obesity epidemic, the compulsive over, just because someone's obese doesn't mean they're a compulsive overeater. But the epidemic is so vast today, we should dwarf any other 12-step program. Why don't we? Because this is the toughest of the addictions. I've told the story in here of my trip to Philadelphia. We went to see a man in the hospital, well over 500 pounds. He crapped in the bed to get rid of us. 3 months later, he was dead. There's one other thing I want to address, and that's in the previous reading. Same paragraph. It says, outline the program of action. And we all talk about describing the steps, and that's key. But I also need to model that this is the most important thing in my life without exception. That whether I'm in Timbuktu or Timbuktu, I'm quote unquote out of town or in town, this program comes with me. It's very portable. It comes with me in my suitcase. That no matter where I am, I contact my sponsor. My sponsees contact me. I want to retch sometimes when people say, I can't call my sponsor. She's out of town. Unless she's the other side of Saturn, there's probably cell service. What do you mean you can't contact your sponsor? And I'm reminded of a bottom line as we read this paragraph. This is not a program for people who need it. This is not a program for people who want it. This is a program for people who do it. This is an action program, and it is constant action because every single day of my life, there are three things happening. I'm getting older. The disease is getting worse, and things are changing, and I have to model that behavior. But as far as the 12-step goes, like was just said, it's not negotiable. If this person doesn't want what I have, I'll find someone else. If this person doesn't want what I have, I'll find someone else. Thanks, Lisa, for the ungentle reminder, because there's a couple of coyotes doing some things over here. You shouldn't do this close to high school. I think they could get arrested, and I wouldn't have heard you otherwise. Thank you so much. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Harlan G. from Arizona, thank you so much. And Melissa C., you're up, followed by Gail H.
Hey, good morning, Lisa. Thanks so much for your service this morning. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in New York. And, you know, I really like the fact that people are, they owe me nothing. They're of no obligation, that if they decide to call it off, you know, that I'm still going to be friendly to them, that, you know, that my kindness is not just reserved for people who decide to do what I do. And I think that is so, that's such a beautiful and powerful and not to be ignored set of directions, because it was the kindness but clarity that saved my life. And that is my truth. And so that's what I try to replicate with others, you know, that that when I came in and out of the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, there was actual people who understood what friendship means. You know, this chapter uses that word friend 16 times, which is no accident, because this is the language of the heart. The rest of the world, you know, has been horrendously cruel to people who suffer from this disease, whether it's, you know, in my experience, it was morbid obesity. The world was not very kind. I wasn't kind to myself, and the world certainly wasn't kind back to me. And yet, when I walked into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, people understood what it meant to be a friend. But they gave me direction, because I think a true friend doesn't lie to you. A true friend tells you the truth, but they say it in a way that doesn't humiliate you or, like, grind you into the ground. And so when I left again and again and again, I was always greeted back like I was welcomed. You know, they say welcome home. And I try to think about that when I, especially when I'm working with someone who doesn't want what I have. Because my experience has been a lot of people do come back again. And if we're clear and calm,
you know, and we hold true to the directions, they know what they're getting when they come back. And they also know that they're going to be greeted in a way that they can come back. You know, I was told you keep the porch light on and the doormat out there. And I think that's the beautiful way of this program. That's what allowed me to recover. And thanks. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Melissa C. from New York. And Gail H., you're up, followed by Dara.
Good morning. I'm Gail H. from Renton, Washington. And thank you all for sharing. And you know how it works in our world. It just seems like the universe intervenes and the message is heard in various places in a week's time. It just amazes me in this walk in the spirit. So I have been ill for well over a year since my husband died. We were married for 50 years. So I've been in a world that I've never been in before. And, you know, with all of the limitations, and there are many, it has made my world small enough that just the being with the spirit and the spiritual journey has been just, it's been like a spiritual sabbatical is what I can say. And I just celebrated 56 years in this program. And, you know, it took me 18 years to get my abstinence. But I knew the program worked. I knew in my heart of that the program worked. And every bit of those 18 years was necessary. But the other day, I was moved to listen to the 30th anniversary of Alcoholics Anonymous, and Bill was speaking. And I got sober when this, in 1969, came in 68. And Bill was saying, and I heard it, you know, like it was the first time, saying to the newcomer, and I think it was he and Dr. Bob, and he said to him, so heartfelt, is that I need you more than you'll ever need me. And here it is again in our big book that we just are reading that. And, you know, it's like I'm hearing it for the first time. This is a part of it. And in a general way, I've been thinking, whatever is in front of me, it's my job to learn, not their job to do. And it goes from my head to my heart, is what I can say, is that things become more real that weren't at this level. And I would use the word wisdom of the, you know, the belief systems that God is doing for me what I never could do for myself. And each day I learn more at a deeper level. And I let go, or God lets go of me, or has provided for me an opportunity which my human brain would not come up with. But it is what's so in this later quarter of my life. So with that, I thank you all and this program and you and all of your shares. Oh, does it make so much impact for someone who can't get out of the house. Bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Gail H. from Washington. And Dara, you're up, if you'll remind me of the first initial of your last name, followed by Tony B.
Hi, this is Dara F., as in Frank, and I'm from Manassas, Virginia. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm probably not going to say something too much different than what everybody else is saying, but when I talk to a newcomer sort of showing my wares, so to speak, to somebody who may be considering me as a sponsor, I feel like this great desire to people please. What can I say that will make them choose me as a sponsor, will make them think I'm the most recovered. And that's all about me, and that's really not the point. The point is for me to sponsoring helps me to learn my program better, to learn my character defects better and how to overcome them better. It gets me out of myself. But when I get to that place where I'm showing off my wares and trying to win somebody over, that's when I have to sort of scale back and say, okay, to quote Harlan, this program is not for people who want it. It's not for people who need it. It's for people who do it. Am I speaking to somebody who wants to need my message or not? And even if not, then that's okay, because I'm still getting something out of it. And who knows, they might get something out of it down the line if they don't get something out of it today. I also wanted to say that it requires a certain amount of patience, because the first people you talk to may not take me up on my offer, and everybody I talk to may not take me up on my offer, and that's okay, and it's not a reflection on me. It is a it's just whether they're ready for it and whether I'm the right match and whether a higher power decides that it's going to work today. But nonetheless, I can learn something and move on. So thank you so much for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Dara F. from Virginia. And Tony B., you're up, followed by Jennifer C.
Hi, my name's Tony B. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Scotland. You needn't be offended. I think this is a very important phrase, as others have said this morning. There have been great shares this morning. And I ask myself why I'd be offended. If I've tried too hard, if I'm invested in the outcome, if I've put all my eggs in one basket and want to hold on to this sponsee, I'd be offended too if I take it personally and tell myself they don't like me or I'm not good enough at this sponsorship. Poor me, I've failed. I have to believe that it's in the trying and the consistent trying that I keep well. And therefore, you know, the person I'm working with has helped me more than I've helped him. I love the phrase that I'm 100% successful with my sponsees because I'm staying recovered. As Lois said to Bill, when he complained that his prospects weren't recovering, but you're staying well, Bill. And this was a real revelation to him. Yes, the penny really dropped. This is how I stay well. And this is a vital part of the program, this trying to carry the message to other alcoholics. I've learned to ensure that I have several sponsees on the go at any time, because I know that many will call it off. And I find that my talk can be more full of sanity and peace if I'm not expecting anyone to recover. I hope they'll recover, but I'm not relying on it for my security and my self-esteem. And then maybe you have disturbed him is interesting too, that nothing is wasted in God's economy. Their time wasn't wasted. My time wasn't wasted. It's all movement forward. It's all seeds planted and God's work being furthered. So it's just a privilege to be on the line this morning. I love you all very much. Wish you a beautiful day, and I pass.
Thank you, Tony B. from Scotland. And Jennifer C., you're up, followed by Lee H.
Hi, good morning. This is Jennifer C., recovered in Greenville, South Carolina. Thank you so much for everyone's shares. Suggest how important it is that he place the welfare of other people ahead of his own. So there's a couple things here. In the doctor's opinion, one of the first paragraphs, he commenced to present his conceptions to other alcoholics, impressing upon them that they must do likewise with still others. Soon as somebody is abstinent, soon as somebody is not in the physical addiction of this food, they have the ability to start focusing on how they can be helpful. And then start focusing on how he could be helpful. It was part of his healing process, right? It was part of his healing process, because what else am I going to focus on? I need something to replace the food with. What else am I going to focus on? I'm an addict. My brain gets obsessed. What am I going to obsess about? So I need a replacement, right? This is a process of exchange. And this book teaches me that I have a sufficient substitute. A sufficient substitute for what? Self-centeredness, binging, excess food. What's the sufficient substitute? God, his way of life, sharing his love, sharing his power. So this suggestion, right, that's not so much a suggestion, how important, how critical it is that he placed the welfare of other people ahead of his own. One of my favorite step 12 paragraphs is from page 15, when Bill couldn't find work, his health had deteriorated. No health, no job, nobody would hire him. And it says he was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. Can you relate? Self-pity and resentment. And it almost took him back to the drink. But what did he do? He immediately turned his attention to going to the hospital and seeking out someone else he could help. You know why? Because when he was at the hospital and he saw these men that could barely get a day, it reminded him how blessed he was. Wait a second, I can't find work, my health is deteriorated, but I am sober. And it says that the promise associated with that way of life is that he was amazing. He didn't just not drink that day, right? He was amazingly lifted up and set back on his feet. I want to be amazingly lifted up, right? I got to take the right medication. Go do another 10 step. Go do another 10 step. If I'm not careful, those 10 steps will keep me right in my main problem, which is self-centeredness. Yes, do the 10 step. Ask God to remove. Ask God to save you. Ask God to save you from anger, deliver you. And then the best part of the 10 step, the most effective medication as part of the 10 step is not me figuring myself out, right? It's turning my attention to helping someone else. That's how you wrap up a 10 step. And that's usually how I'm relieved of the obsession that I was just stuck in about me, myself, and I. Turn my attention to someone else I can help. And when I genuinely do that, did Bill do it to save his own butt? Yes, he did. But it was authentic. He genuinely cared about helping these other people. And then he was amazingly lifted up. So I love you all. I love you all. I love this book. I love God. And thank you for letting me share with that. I pass.
Thank you, Jennifer C. from South Carolina. And Lee H., please share with us.
Good morning, Lisa. This is Lee H., a recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee this morning. And what a great meeting. When I first started sponsoring, I was really nervous. And, of course, like many others have said, I really was not real crazy about the idea of doing it, but I knew that there was something that I had to, it was something I had to do to stay recovered, like we've talked about. And I've just enjoyed it so much now. The more I do it, and I think it's been a step of faith for me, really, because I never know when I talk to somebody about sponsoring whether or not we're going to follow through, how long we're going to be talking together, and it just varies. Every person is different, and it's been a real growing up for me. I've become a grown-up kind of more through sponsoring than any of the other, step 12, than any of the other steps, really. Because it's a test to see whether I'm gonna, be kind and loving or whether I'm gonna be offended if they decide they don't want to work with me. And I love the part where it just says that, there's so many opposites in here, as far as it says, if your talk has been sane, quiet, and full of human understanding, you have perhaps made a friend, but maybe you've disturbed him about the question of alcoholism. But this is all to the good. And the more hopeless he feels, the more likely he'll follow your suggestions. And that's what I love about step one, going through the big book and talking about step one. And that's really where there should be some disturbance. And, you know, and that's okay. And that's really good. And I guess it depends on how ready that person is, how desperate that person is, how disturbed that person is to realize that their lives are unmanageable and they need a higher power and they need to move on. They keep needing to work the steps. And so I just love it. I have made friends, and I too feel like that I will talk to these people anytime. And just because they say that they need something else besides what I have to offer, I am always available and will be there if they just need a friend to listen. And so with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Lee H. from Tennessee. And we are commenting on the second half of the first paragraph, page 94, the top 12th line from the top. That begins, make it clear, and to the end of the paragraph, follow your suggestions. Comments on those seven sentences this morning. And who else would like to share this morning?
Christina J. from North Carolina.
Christina. Amy
C. Sue T.
Amy M. C.
Amy.
Judith S.
Nobody.
Maisie from Massachusetts.
And Sue T.
Okay. Oh, maybe it was Sue. You were, okay. So let me tell you what I have, see if I missed anybody. I have Christina J., Pete B., Amy M.C., Sue T., Judith, S.P., I think, and Maisie. You'll have to give me the first initial of your last name. Let's go with that lineup. And Christina J., you're up, followed by Pete B.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. in North Carolina. And wow, what wonderful three-minute ministries this morning. Incredible. If God is everything or nothing, if someone comes into my path, God has sent them. If someone leaves my path, God takes them away. Because God is dropping the seeds. Pain is plowing the fields, right? Pain plowed my field, and it's plowed it over and over and over. And I've had thousands of seeds from various sponsors, from these meetings, from books, from podcasts, from spiritual
podcasts.
There was
the other door.
Someone's unmuted. And God has been plowing. Pain has been plowing. The seeds have been dropping, and I am slowly recovering into a state I have never and would have never experienced. So how can I be offended? My ego is really so involved in that, right? I'm not good enough. Self-pity, you know, selfishness. I want to help someone heal. That's not your job. It's not my job. Yes, we love it. We want everyone to heal. It's an incredible thing. I cannot explain to a new person at the start of the program all the things, how pain has so deeply plowed my field into the very essence of my soul, where I am beginning to live a life that I love. My heart has been so plowed by the pain. God is in there waiting to cover it with salve and truth and love. And I want to give that out in multitudes, but I can't. I have to do and be as God would have me be with a new person and gently share where I've been and where I am. And if they say, I don't want it or I'm not ready, that's who cares? I mean, yes, I care because I'd love to have them heal, but that's not my job. My job is to share my experience, strength, and hope that has been so incredibly dropped into the very essence of my bones from this program. There is nothing else I have had or used or done that has done what this program has done for me. I can tell you that right now. I've done lots, and some of you know, shared on it. I've done tons of spiritual journeys. Hard spiritual journeys, and nothing has given me the steps to take to begin to find myself. That's the beauty. The food is just the effing top crust of what you're going to be getting if you take these steps. And I can't share that with a newbie. They've got to learn that on their own. And they got to find God on their own. I can't share. I can share the God that I've gotten and the beauty of it, but they're probably not going to understand it because we've got to take the journey. We each have to take the journey. And so it's a true blessing if someone calls me and says, can I talk? Thank you, God.
Fine.
And I always say before I talk, God, please use, tell me what you'd have me say and be and do. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. And Pete B., you're up, followed by Amy M.C.
Yeah, thanks, moderator. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy in Pennsylvania. And I appreciate your service. You're doing a really great job. And, we have to be really careful, right, particularly in the fellowship and the program, the Fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous and the Program of Recovery, right? Because as a fellowship, as a group of individuals, we have practices and an approach to the 12-step recovery process. And I guess there are traditions, I don't know, that we follow, that we present to people as the program of action, which was read in the previous paragraph, right? And we have to recognize that these practices and these, methods that some of us use are not consistent with everybody, and in no way, shape, or form are consistent or exactly consistent with what the 12-step recovery program of action calls out. Right? We outline the program of action. That's the steps, entire abstinence and working the steps in order to have a spiritual experience which causes us allows us to become free, right? To walk hand in hand with the Creator and carry this message to the next sick and suffering person. There's not one step that says I am to become dependent on another person. There's not one step that says I need to make a phone call every single day or multiple phone calls every single day as the program of action. There's not one that says I need to report the food or let somebody know that I'm going to have turkey rather than pork or beef rather than chicken. Not the program of action. Those are methods and they are practices that we use to help us with entire abstinence and help us with planning our food and living this life free of the merciless obsession, right? So we have to be clear, what are we explaining? We're explaining the 12 steps and how that process comes about. We're explaining the emphasis on what the doctor says our problem is, which is we have an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind, and it requires entire abstinence. And the 12-step program of action brings about a vital spiritual experience where our dependence on our reliance goes on God versus on these other methods and practices that we have in place, right? We misinterpret a lot of the instructions that come in this a lot of the processes or a lot of the steps that are in this book to align with our abnormal personalities, right? But the book tells us where our reliance and our dependence needs to be. And if we're communicating something different to a person, it's no wonder why our success rate is less than 1%. It's no wonder why, the message gets watered down and places our dependence on other people ahead of where our dependence needs to be, which is on God. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Pete D. from Pennsylvania. And Amy M.C., you're up, followed by Sue T.
Good morning, everyone. This is Amy M.C. from Massachusetts, recovered compulsive overeater. And wow, I'm just in awe over everyone's share and that I get to be one among many, right? I get to share my experience, strength, and hope. I have an experience, strength, and hope to share. As everyone is sharing today and articulating in their own way, this is talking about how we've worked the steps, how we are part of this, less than 1% recovery rate. how God is doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. Because for each of us, God is everything. When I'm in my disease, when I am not in a recovered state, even when I'm obsessing in my mind before I do the 10th step, before I am of service, God is not everything. I forget. I have this built-in forgetter. Thank God I have others to work with. I get to use the tools of recovery. I get to share my experience, strength, and hope. And I get out of the way. And I allow God to do for me what I can't do for myself. And yes, sometimes it looks different for each of us. But what's the same is that we are following this book of recovery because it works when we work at the steps, sharing with others how the steps work for us, how we've had the spiritual experience, how God has stepped in because I got out of the way, because I gave God the food. I gave him, I said, no, this isn't mine anymore. Lord, tell me, what do I eat? How do I nourish and satiate my body? I don't know. I lost that ability. You know, I get the opportunity to work with another recovered compulsive overeater, whether it be my sponsee or my sponsor, or a fellow doing outreach, doing 10 steps, and I get to work with a nutritionist and say, yeah, I have an eating disorder. I'm a compulsive overeater. I can't safely eat anything. I need some direction as to what a balanced meal looks like. You know, I was sharing with somebody recently how the first time I had my plate of abstinent food for dinner, and I remember looking at the plate and being like, oh my gosh, how am I going to eat all of this? But this plate was filled with foods that nourish and satiate my body, not harm my body. I remember walking around my kitchen with my sponsor on the phone, going through each and every cabinet and being like, yeah, no, that's not on your food plan, honey. That's got to go. And holding on to a couple items and her being like, thank you, I heard that. Why are you holding on to that, honey? That's not part of your food. I get to let go and let God step in, and I share that experience, strength, and hope. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Amy MC. And Sue T, you're up, followed by Judith SP.
Thank you. I hope you can hear me. This is Sue T from Virginia. I get very nervous to speak, so please, please bear with me on this. Just a little history, which is funny coming from me when I think about it. But you know, when AA started in 1935, when two guys got together because they couldn't deal with their drinking problems, Dr. Bob and Bill, and they just started talking. Can you imagine in those days to even be talking in that and about that subject? They just started talking with each other, and they thought, well, let's just tell other people about this or try to reach other people, and that's what they did. And I don't know which one of them, I think it was Bill, but I'm not sure, was trying to help someone to get sober, and he got very, very depressed about it because it didn't work. He says, what's the use? This doesn't even work. You know, this is 85 years ago. I can't do this. And he was so despondent that he couldn't help this individual. And Dr. Bob or the other person said to him, but did you pick up a drink or anything else? Or no. Well, then it did work. And, you know, it was like such a revelation to him that he stayed sober in that process. And so that's where it all started. Everything we're talking about right now has started in 18, because they could have stopped right then and not gone on because of the way he felt about it. but he didn't. He realized, yes, I am sober, and that meant so much on a deeper level. You know, it's getting it in the heart. From the head to the heart is such a long distance for people, and for many of us, and many times doesn't reach that those two places. So anyway, I just wanted to give that. That's where all these rooms started, with those two guys, and one of them feeling like he couldn't do this. What's the use? And it's amazing what I call the brass band between the two ears will tell us, which has nothing to do with reality, or is it helping me or hurting me, what my thoughts are saying to me. And if I pick up the food, it's not helping me. But thank you.
Thank you, Sue T. from Virginia, and Judith S.P., you're up, and hopefully Maisie will have time. Judith, please share with us.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, everybody. First off, I apologize. I was unmuted earlier in the meeting. Have to be aware of that. Again, my name is Judith, live in Maryland, truly grateful to be recovered and under the protection and guidance of my higher power. I wanted to share today because what keeps coming up for me as I hear people's shares is the love in the diversity of how we each come into the program, work the steps, become hopefully God-directed, recovered, share it with another, keep keeping my hand in the hand of God's, and hopefully taking your hand and helping you help yourself connect to God. And every time I read this book, it's amazing how many thoughts and wonderful feelings into actions come to be. And I'm very blessed right now in my work with others that this book is so electrifying. And it's as if I'm reading it for the first time or reading it for the 100th time. It doesn't matter. And one thing that came to me as I was reading with a sponsee is on page 35 in the story of Jim. I never read this. I mean, I've read this before, but it never came to me. And Jim had really wanted to get sober, but he went back and forth six times. And let me just get it here because it's too wonderful not to read. All went well for a time, but he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. To his consternation, he found himself drunk half a dozen times in rapid succession. On each of these occasions, we worked with him, reviewing carefully what had happened. You know, it's not up to me to have a template. I work with you one time, I work with you two times, maybe you need another voice. I understand we're all different. We come into our work differently and continue our work differently. But now I realize I'm just available. You know, the Carole King song, "You've Got a Friend." I am a friend, a different special kind of friend, because we're all on this journey around our weaknesses. And I am so grateful because, as someone said earlier, I am growing up. I am learning how to be quiet, sane, and clear. I can be clear because I'm abstinent, and the only dependence I have in this universal experience is God. And everybody else is a fellow on the journey, whether they're in program or in my life outside of fellowship. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Judith S.P. And Maisie, you have a little over a minute if you'd like to share. And please remind us of the first initial of your last name.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for your leadership. And it's Maisie C. from Massachusetts. And I'm grateful to be here. Sponsorship and sponsees, it's so important to me today. When I first came into program 25 years ago, my first few sponsors were like drill instructors. And that's something I didn't need. Being the youngest of eight, I always had somebody telling me what to do, how to do it, when to do it. We're all individuals. excuse me, somebody just said something. And we all, you know, we all have our own walk. And that's what I've learned through the years. You know, the great I am, I got abstinent right away. I just thought I was great. And if I can do it, anybody can do it. And I became that drill instructor because I didn't know what I didn't know. I'm glad I'm not that way today. I have a loving, kind, patient, tolerant sponsor. And I try to give that back to my sponsees, what has been so freely given to me. I'm not God. I'm not, I'm just another person here. And I get so much more from my sponsees than I know that I give. Because I basically listen, whatever they're doing, it's fine. You know, not that, whatever. But anyway, I'm just grateful that I am not that person. I've tucked my pride in my pocket. I've become very humble. I love all you people. You have helped, so many of you on this line have helped me so much. I've been coming here since last May. It's unbelievable. Okay. It's a year right now. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I pass.
Thank you, Maisie C. from Massachusetts. And thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, April 30th, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,392. That's 22392. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Craig F., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only until keep you until then.
Yeah, this is Craig F., recovered and working in Oklahoma. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly speak to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.